have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four! I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
The Orange Crusher got the wall! It's the Frank Williams Show!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Johnny and Sam on a fine Saturday afternoon as Illinois extends their win streak after a 79-68 dub. Oh my God, I'm looking at the Northwestern box score. Then we'll talk about that game. A 77, oh my goodness, 67 win over Minnesota. The reason I have both of them pulled up is because obviously we weren't able to pod after the Northwestern game. A bunch of us were at the game, so... Boys, I'm sorry. That's a big mistake on my part. I had the box scores wrong tab pulled up, but I just want to emphasize that we won both games. So my bad, boys.
The scores were nearly identical.
They were nearly
77,
identical.
77, like,
and 79, 60. They're,
yeah.
They're,
6-7.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going Tony Reale mute.
Yeah. we gotta appeal to the younger audience. You know,
yeah.
I don't think the younger audience has like the brain capacity to listen to this, but
do a whole podcast
unless they have like Subway Surfers on, but
yes, in the background.
But yeah, so we're kind of starting this podcast off slow, just like Illinois today, just like,
oh,
a little, you know,
cool.
it's early.
I like that. You know, Brad was like a little bit excited to be like, I fucking knew there would be a slow Steve. Probably was like, I knew 11 o'clock start. Like, he took that time out, you know, 6-0 back to back threes there, and he's like, yeah, I enjoy this. And I know we say this every year, but it must be said for the 11 o'clock basketball starts feels so much earlier than an 11 o'clock football start. There's just something about then the reason for this is because like in the fall when it's warm out and it's nice, it feels so much different at 11 in the morning versus like the dead of winter when it's like -9 here. That 11 a.m. start felt like 6:45 when I was walking to the bar this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally different
when you're like, outside and the sun is up and like you see the sun in the football game, you're like, okay, like people are out and about. But in a dark State Farm Center, one of the darker arenas, I feel like, in college basketball, like, that kind of adds it is like,
it's a dark, like, what, based off of like hue,
the lighting. Yes, thank you, Johnny. The lighting in the stadium and
like, I feel like there's a lot of light on the court, but then the surrounding areas, like kind of where the fans are seated, it's darker.
Yeah.
Like, take a look at other stadiums. You'll see the fans a little bit more.
Huh. It's not like, you know, when I think of like the Lakers stadium where it, you know what I'm talking about, where it's
like,
just like pitch black behind you there. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Not the point we're trying to make. Brad took the time out and then we would go, I'm like a 8-2 run or something, and obviously kind of essentially never look back. It was pretty, you know, back and forth each, you know, at least through the duration of the first half there. Obviously Illinois pulling away a little bit at the end there, but
I never really felt good up until the last few minutes. Like, there were times where we could have put the game away and didn't really do it, and even in the second half, right, Minnesota was winning at certain points. I mean, I think Minnesota was, I don't know, winning 32-26 at 1.2. Like, there were a few times where they controlled. It was tied at halftime, which was nice.
It looks like it was 54-53 with 10 minutes left.
Yeah,
and at that point,
yeah.
Where
it was just like, are they going to hang around and steal this game? And thankfully, that was kind of the moment we woke up and hit a bunch of threes.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's nice to win games where you feel like it was a C+ or a B- sort of effort and you won the game.
Sure. It gave shades, at least at the start of like the USC basketball game last year, where it's like, you're at home, it's 11 o'clock. You're like, shit, it's 9 a.m. for USC. They should really be sleepwalking. And Desmond Claude just comes in and absolutely, you know, tears you up, lights you up in a game that you absolutely no doubt should not be sleepwalking. So I'm sure Brad showed footage or talked about that game from just over a year ago, where it's like, you are not going to have a sleepy Saturday morning here. And credit to them, they woke up, they didn't.
I will say this is, let's see, at least the second game in a row probably where it's kind of been like a C+ effort. And you
I
kind of,
would.
you,
You think Northwestern was C plus? Look, you're on the road.
It wasn't, I don't know
You
if it
know,
was a C
you.
plus effort, but it was like, it was a little bit like get your head in the game, sort of like take control of this game.
I love how, you know, we've won, you know, 7 in a row, 9 of our last 10, or, you know, going back to Tennessee, and like this team is playing so well that we're like, yeah, this is just C plus effort. But, you know, we've won 7 in a row here, ho hum, you know. If that's C plus effort, I'm excited for down the stretch here when it's time to play your A plus ball here with some of these hotter teams coming to town.
But yeah, I do think, I mean, I do kind of think like this team still could have the highest ceiling of just about any team. Like the two Ivasai are so good. You're not getting like the best lately from Andrei Stojakovic. You're just maybe kind of getting some rhythm back from Mihailo. Like it feels like there's so many guys, even though we've kind of had a tight rotation at times, and there's been a lot of Ben and Jake shared minutes, it still feels like these C plus efforts or games where you can't pull away, you're kind of just working through the kinks, and like you could unlock another gear, hopefully by March.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's fortunate that we had some of those performances against Northwestern and Minnesota, and that like, okay, didn't bring our A game. That's fine. You still won by double digits in both games,
And
right? Yeah.
you covered in both, essentially.
Minnesota, I don't think.
I thought it wasn't about 9.5, or was it 15.5?
I think it
Was
was
Yeah, it
15
was
and a
15 and a
half.
half. I'm
So,
thinking of it. So you didn't cover.
but either way, like 10-point win against a team that, I don't know, new coach you've never played before, like in a difficult, like the time slot, David had the flu. Like at the end of the day, you're stacking Big Ten
You
wins.
won, yeah.
And if you can save your A plus performance for when you play Purdue, Nebraska, Michigan State, and Michigan, like that would be more ideal, right? So it's hard for 40 games a year to always play your A game, especially with college students. And even during a win streak, sometimes it's hard to like keep the guys motivated or like just have that same like response. Like, okay, you lose that Nebraska game and you come out like so motivated against Missouri and win by 43. Like it's hard to always stay at 100%. So hopefully, right, you have the Maryland game, which they're not a good team. They're a very bad team, but it's Maryland.
There's yeah,
But
this is one of those years where to like get that, yeah, like
you
don't
can't,
get that monkey off your back. Like,
yeah, there's absolutely no excuse for that Wednesday night at home. You know, your ESPN gives you a 94% chance there. That would be the ultimate voodoo devil magic right there. Different, you know, new coach, just please. One time. Yes. Which is why, Johnny, to your point though, I'm like, hey, like C plus or not, like you passed the class today, right? You did what you needed to do to win, and you looked like the better team. And sure, you let Minnesota kind of come back and hang in there. You didn't, you know, you didn't really give up the lead at any point. Sure, you let it, you know, get tied in the mid-50s there, but you still slowly pulled away. And again, I think the last few games, certainly Northwestern, certainly Iowa, you see Illinois go out to these leads, and then you don't see that Illinois collapse by any means, but teams go on runs, right? Illinois' ability to like withstand these runs is what really impresses me, right? Illinois teams of the past, even going back to Gross, crumble. Well, not to say we would have a lead
Well,
at that point,
especially going back to
right?
Gross,
Especially
yeah.
going back to Gross, like crumble under those leads, right? So your ability to like withstand a run in a 40-minute basketball game, like statistically speaking, like it's stats. A team is going to go on a run. A team is going to hit 3 in a row and you're going to miss 3 in a row. Like that's just a coin flip at times, right? So Illinois' ability to withstand runs going back to Iowa and against Northwestern, where you know you're on the road for both of these games, and your crowd is getting the away crowd is getting into it, like, and a little bit today against Minnesota. Not to say they really went on a, like a bona fide run in the same way that Northwestern and Iowa did, but like your ability to hang in the pocket even when maybe the opposing team is going on a 6, 7, 8, 9 run, I think that's what's impressed me, and that's why I'm like, hey, let's give the boys a little bit higher marks than C plus.
And by the way, one, we haven't really been like outplayed in a game in a month. And two, if you kind of look back, you know, obviously Nebraska, we wish we won that game, we didn't, and they looked very good. But even like against UConn, such a different team Keaton Wagler was not in the picture. So like at the end of the day, you've won what, 7 games in a row? I think the most
Yeah.
Brad's won at Illinois 8 games in a row, and you can kind of just, don't want to say roll out of bed, but like in these January games, like slug through it and hopefully save yourself a little bit for
Sure.
some of these bigger games, which is a pretty awesome thing.
I don't think Brad believes saving himself. Maybe some of
No.
us on the team do, but not Brad.
But yeah, I mean, going right, you survived the game where you went like you had a stretch of going 1 for 12, right?
Sure. Right.
And
Exactly.
it's funny that we had the third best offense in the country going into this game, and you have like a 1 for 12 stretch against Minnesota at home. You would not really expect that, but like then they responded and then went, I don't know, 8 for 13 from three in the second half. And kind of similar in that Northwestern game where like oftentimes we've just seen like when Illinois, if you can make like 35% of their threes, they're going to win almost every game because of how well they offensive rebound. And now that they're playing like pretty solid defensively, like that's just a almost like a math equation of if you're hitting 35% of your threes, if you're offensive rebounding 40% of your misses, and then you're playing solid defense, it's really hard to defeat.
We hacked
Yeah,
basketball. We hacked that. We hacked basketball. And then on the going on along with the defensive part, like this team just doesn't foul, right? And I think you've in the past you've seen some fairly undisciplined Brad teams where they are just fouling 30 times in a game. The last 12, sorry, last 3 games, they've averaged about a dozen, 12, 14 fouls, right? Today, I had it up a moment ago, but I mean, barely fouling a. I think Minnesota had like three free throws today, something like
Yeah,
that. Yeah,
that was
nine
the.
personal fouls. Nine personal fouls today for Illinois. One of those was like you had fouls to give there, the Mihailo at the end of the first half. Like, that's to play good defense like that without fouling. Like, hell yeah.
That was the surprising part, was against Northwestern, they out free throw shot us by like, they might have had 17 and we had 9 or something like that. Like it
Yeah.
was, or 18-9. So,
Yeah, we were 8 for 8, 15 of 17, for them.
yeah, so it was, yeah, it's definitely a good strategy on the like Illinois defense of, hey, let's not commit fouls because those are very high percentage looks. But with the slump today, it did open up the door for Mihailo, which was fun. It was great to
Yes,
see him back,
yes.
and the ball was moving a little bit, and hopefully like that built some confidence with him. And hopefully it's one of those moments where Brad's like, hey, dude, we're going to need you at some point this season, so just stay engaged here. And he came to play.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about this while we were watching the game. It's like I don't know. I mean, it's obviously been a tough situation to crack at guard with Boswell and Keaton. So it's like you kind of hope he gets going, and it's like disappointing that he hasn't already. And you mix the good with the bad, but it's good to see him get into a little bit of a rhythm, and it's nice to see him play against a team who seemed like they like actually played a legit zone and practiced their zone and kind of have a little bit of experience to move the ball around. It's a nice little ace to have up your sleeve when you just cannot get anything going offensively, which there were a few moments where that was the case.
He can kind of only play like the one like the point guard, right? Like he's not a wing. Like he can't take, Ben's minutes or Jake's minutes, right? And again, it's a going into the season, if I had told you that Keaton would be playing as good as he was, Brad, first of all, Brad would be like, yeah, I told you. But I think we'd be like, hell yeah. So like, yes, you take the good with the bad. Is it fair to say it's more what Keaton's doing than what Mihailo isn't doing? Again, like he's a little bit undersized. I think on defense, like he's a little bit of a liability. I think he hasn't quite figured out. Maybe his hamstring is still bothering him. I don't know. But I think this is more an indictment on how well your freshman Keaton Wagler has played than on Mihailo himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also just the strength of how well the team has been playing, with being the third best offense in the country with Mihailo on the bench. Basically, you've been able, like, Mihailo's best skills, right, are being like an on-ball creator who
Sure.
gets to the rim and also passes the ball, right? So, like, if your offense is working well without him, then okay, like you can improve on the defensive end with him on out of the game, and also your offense is thriving partially because you can get offensive rebounds. And Mihailo's 6'3" and Keaton's 6'6". And yes, Mihailo is the same height as Kylan, but Kylan's like a different level of athlete.
Dude, Kylan's a Mike a linebacker,
thicker.
Though.
Yeah,
Oh my
exactly.
God. I mean, Kylan was freaking that's so it's not fair to him. His Mihailo's little mid-range Euro step back jumper.
Yeah.
So Euro right there. I love it. Just it's that shot is gonna like stick out like a sore thumb on the shot chart, right? There's just gonna be like
Oh, absolutely.
a plop, an X like right there at the top of the key. Like the only what? How many mid-range jumpers? Actually, I could pull up
The shot chart.
the shot chart here. I think it's hilarious to look at the shot
Where
chart the last couple
are
of
you
games.
looking at the shot chart, by the way?
If you
Where
go
do I find
to
it?
ESPN, there's the play-by-play, and I see it right there. There are like two
Yeah.
free throw miss sort of like little floaters, and then right behind there is Mihailo's little mid-range. Everything is in the paint. It's so impressive. Like it feels like Illinois has been able to get other teams. They other teams shoot way more like mid-range or two-pointers or anything out of the paint than Illinois. It's very impressive. I mean, shout out to Coach Crocker, who's been banging up the defense this year. Like cool to see teams forced to take more mid-range jumpers, because Illinois has not been that team this year. But like you said, Johnny, when you shoot 35% from three and you get that percentage of offensive rebounds, like look to chuck if you're open.
Yeah, three's worth more than two.
Oh,
And
yeah.
yeah. But it's been interesting to watch. I feel like the past, I don't know, eight games or so, you're always getting a good performance out of one of the Ivicic is one of the Ivisai. So it's just kind of like, I don't know, they're insurance against each other, and you're going to have a big man who's playing well at some point. And Brad can just kind of ride the hot hand. So today, Zvonimir was awesome, right? Couple threes, couple dunks, couple blocks. And I mean, this was the first time he was really in like double figures in like over a month. He was really good in that Iowa game too, but he just doesn't play a ton of minutes. But the minutes he's on the court, he's just so effective. So it's
Yeah,
been.
it's crazy. Like, if you told me he only played 14 minutes, I would have said hell no. It feels like he's out there for so much more.
Today?
Oh,
Really?
look, guys, I'm looking at the Northwestern box score, man. I'm a
Oh.
mess. I'm a night.
He
I'm an
played
absolute
19
mess.
minutes today.
I'm
He
a
played
mess,
19.
guys.
Yeah.
It's a disaster. He
I'm
did play. He
seeing
played 19.
18 over here, so we'll have
You
to
know,
have our intern look at that,
I've got a really my tab discipline right now. My eye discipline. I jumped.
but it is funny. He played. I'm seeing 18 or 19 minutes. Jake Davis played 18 minutes. Zvani, 18 points. Jake Davis, 0 points. Zvani, three pointers, six free throws, nine rebounds. Jake Davis, two rebounds. Like, it's kind of funny, like how the I'm not like trying to put Jake Davis down, like totally different roles, but it is funny, like how one of them is like, give me like 19 really strong scoring minutes, and the other one is like, give me something totally different, like
It's
defensively
hilarious
and.
that they played the same amount of time in basketball on the
Yes.
court, because it felt like those were in some invisible minutes from Jake Davis, and Zvonimir was just like the featured player. So to Maddie's point of like, oh, I thought he played 30 today,
Yeah.
which we did get a little Twin Towers action today, which
That
was
was
fun.
fun. That was fun. You have not seen that almost at all this year. So it was fun to see them kind of pass the ball back and forth. I wonder if they have some sort of like telepathy where they can kind of like speak to each other. You know, I mean, I suppose they can talk like Croatian and no one else will understand on the opposing team, so they can communicate without everyone else knowing. But it is cool. I would like to see them play a little bit more together down the stretch.
Which do they almost have the opposite of twin telepathy though, where like one of them has a good game and the other one doesn't? Or are they
Yeah.
communicating like, hey, it's your game today, Tommy?
It's, yeah, it
It's
could be.
we're at Northwestern. I know you love Evanston, Tommy, so like make sure you hit a couple threes at the end of the game and score 21.
Yes, sure. And Zvonimir's like, "Hey, man, I got the Minnesota game. Like, hey, I've always hated the Golden Gophers." Zvonimir, noted PJ Fleck hater, so he's like, "I want a little bit of revenge today." So yes, absolutely. Speaking of some of our European boys, Tony Bilic, when he came to like America, like over the last week, did he arrive with more than one outfit? Because he looks like if you imported a 2K My player just directly onto the bench there, and he's just sitting there in his like all orange jumpsuit. You know, when you create a My player and you just give him the most outrageous outfit and it's just different from what everyone else is wearing, like, why don't they give him some like team issued gear like
He
to wear with the
needs.
rest of the boys? It's hilarious. He was on the court during warmups and it just looks like you planted your My player there.
He needs
Just
more like 2K coins to upgrade his look. So
yeah.
he's kind of stuck with that.
He's stuck with the
And
one outfit here.
yeah, but
He's
literally
looking
like
here.
everyone else was in blue warm-ups, and then there's
Yes.
just bright orange Tony Bilic,
It's
who
just, it's amazing.
that can sometimes be like a strategy where you want the guy who you know is not going to play to be in orange, even though Ty Rogers is in blue and you've Adam Fletcher sitting in the middle of the bench. So I don't know.
Is it like you know when you're like OC and DC are wearing like completely different colors? It's like, you know, they're wearing
Something like
green so you
that.
can pick up the like the calls or something. Maybe they need Tony to like communicate something you know, on the bench to them, and you can easily recognize him.
Which Sam made the joke that I think Tony's first game was at Northwestern. So Sam was like, did he just fly into O'Hare and then get picked up?
Culture shock.
Yeah.
And they made him take Suburban Express back, apparently.
Yeah.
He couldn't ride back with the team. He's getting the full
They were
champagne
like,
experience.
there are guys on our team who are making $1 million. I promise this college basketball thing is a big deal. You're not going to believe me tonight when you go to what seems like a high school gym and
Winston.
a little bit of a different intensity than like the Belgrade Derby that you're used to.
Which we should talk about that because a few of us were at the game and I went over and said hi to Sam at Josh at halftime. And Sam just says to me, you know how oftentimes you have like sensory overload? Well, I've got like sensory underload right now at this quiet arena in Evanston. And it was weird for Tony to have that be his first college basketball game because other Northwestern games have been very loud. This one was just a real snoozer.
It was a
Why
weird
didn't
game.
was it because winter break or something? Or I know they work on the like trimester system there, quartile, whatever system. They like it felt like, because even when they went on that run in years of the past, again, speaking of Illinois being able to hold on to runs, like we would blow those games a couple times in Northwestern, and the crowd was absolutely a factor. Were they on break? What happened this year? Because it did
They.
not, from my perspective, I wasn't there, it did not seem as loud this year.
One thing I noticed is, one, probably like the first week of school back, there was a decent student attendance. But two, since Welsh Ryan, or since their football stadium, whatever they're calling it, I don't know if it's still Ryan Field, is under construction, you could only park about a 15-minute walk away, on the day of the game. So I feel like a lot of people arrived late. So like that was one factor. And then two, like they have this really big section in the middle of the court that's like kind of a donor section where it seemed like some wealthier, maybe older folks were sitting, and that section wasn't very full. It was very like cold out, and again, like kind of hard to get to the game with construction, so that could have been a factor. And then I feel like with the 50-50 split of Illinois Northwestern fans, it just kind of like made it so neither team on their own would get too loud. So I don't know, kind of just like a mix of everything.
And Northwestern, right, was 0-5 going into that
Right.
game. So it's
Yeah.
like there's not a ton of fan excitement. And even like, okay, last year there were still a lot of people there, but partially because the year before Northwestern made the
Made the
tournament and
tournament.
had a solid year. It's kind of like the year after you have a good year, there's more fan excitement, but then you have a down year and then you're 0-5. Like, just not a ton of people are very excited to be there, and it's a cold night in Evanston, so
As they
you
all
get
are. Brad did the patronizing thing, right? In the postgame
Yes, it
chat.
was
Yeah.
great, so great to be on the other
Brad loves to
side.
do that.
What do you say? Like
We,
they're
yeah,
better than the record. He did
yeah,
the he pressed the they're better than their record indicates button. Let me tell you, no team that is ever better than their record has ever been said about that in a press conference before. If you are 0-8 in the Big Ten, and Tom Izzo is calling you the best
I was
0-8
gonna
team of all
say,
time, You're a bad basketball team. It's really nice to get to Little Brother, which you've got, 100 wins on them now or so, 99, 100 wins. Like, you're not, like, I understand coaches want to be respectful, and you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, they were really bad. Like, yeah. Patronizing.
But yeah, that was referencing back to when we were 0-8 our senior year in 2018, and Tom Izzo, right, saying that the best 0-8 team I've ever played. Wow. Thank you so much for the backhanded compliment and
Thanks,
patronizing us
Tom. We'll
as
get you
we end
back.
up finishing the season 4-14 in Big Ten play. Like, wow. Like, this is just such an impressive team that went 14-18 in the entire regular season. Like, I don't need your praise, Tom Izzo. And it's so nice to not be getting those statements, but being on the other end. It's great. Sorry, we're just 15 and what are we? 15-3 now? I think actually it's the best start in Brad's career in terms
I
of just
think at
wins,
least in the Big
losses.
Three. In the Big Ten, it's got to be, a 6-1 start. I don't think we've
We
ever,
started 6-0 in 2022, the year we won it. But then,
Well, I guess it would be tied if we went 6-1. We're tied
I
for the
don't know
best,
if, yeah.
tied for the best start,
Yeah,
I
so tied for the
suppose.
best start. So yeah, if we win, and that I'm looking at that team, they lost the next game. So, or they lost two in a row, right? So they went 6-2. So if we beat Maryland, 7-1 is the best start.
And let me say, Maryland is not the best 0-6 team because there are several other teams in the Big Ten that are 0-6, including, Penn State, Northwestern, which you've beaten, but like,
Including two teams we didn't blow out.
yes, exactly. So they might be the worst 0-6 Big Ten. We'll find out, but
Well,
they might be the
yeah.
worst 0-6 Big Ten team. Imagine Brad in the press conference, like, yeah, that was like the worst. Oh, and six, and that oh and seven Big Ten team I've ever
If
played.
he's commenting on the best 0-6 team, can you also tell us who the second
Worst.
best and worst 0-6 team is?
Yeah.
Shouldn't
I'd like to know.
he also like wait till he's played all the 0-6 teams before he?
Well, this
It's
would be
like
this is the last this is the last this will be the last one.
no,
Penn
I
State,
know, but like
Northwestern,
he's
Maryland.
already it's kind of like I don't no no I'm not gonna I
Don't
shouldn't
jinx it. It's
no no
Maryland,
no no I was
Sam.
gonna say something else, but yeah, no, but I don't even think Brad is like trying to give a backhanded compliment. I think he just loves to give like good PR, like every offseason. Keaton, like there's your Keaton Wagler, Demonte, who's like the most improved player ever, and then every time we beat a team, he loves to be like they're a tough team, like they're a good team. Like Brad just he's great at PR, like great at giving his, and then he'll go in the locker room and be like, "How the fuck did you not win that game by more points?"
He's like good cop, bad cop. It's all about PR. He's taking the show on the road to freaking Abu Dhabi next winter, so where he's gonna get to tell the world about our squad.
He's like, you, those Shaqs watching the game probably think nothing of Illinois basketball. That's
Those
embarrassing.
cheek, those cheek.
Or those Sheik, those Sheik.
That's hilarious. That is good. Yes. Okay. So yeah, kind of a mum crowd, I suppose. The other night, like maybe 50-50. I was hearing reports of 60-40 Illinois split there. So like, I get it. You're Northwestern. Like, I'm not gonna rag on you, but like, tough look for a home game.
But it's fine. We'll take advantage of it. Win a game by 11, and even once again, not our best performance. It sounded like Keaton had back spasms going into the game, and Mirkovic had the flu and
Here we
was
go again. Here
throwing
we go
up.
again,
Which
boys. Here we go again.
also, yeah, I know he's taking a page out of Tommy's playbook. Which Mirkovic had to sw remember he switched numbers from 0 to 52
Yeah, well, he
for
got ripped
having
or
body
something.
fluid, which. Now, if you connect the dots of him also having the flu, did he like puke on his jersey?
Maybe
Oh, poor David.
the other end. I don't know.
Oh.
Was he wearing shorts with 52 on them also?
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Imagine if jerseys, like there were numbers on shorts, like those old
That's,
like juicy, those old juicy,
yeah.
juicy shorts. That's a juicy, and there was like the 52 on it.
In soccer, you have that and you just can't, like, you just got to stick with it if it's not anything major, like
If you can't, what do you mean?
Like you've got the shorts and shirt with your number on it. So like
Oh, they have number on the shorts? Oh,
yeah,
on the
so like
side,
if
right?
you're gonna change, no, I'm saying in soccer,
But
not
on the side, is it on the
yeah.
back?
No, it's on like the front left. It doesn't really matter, but
Oh,
it's one of
right.
those things where it's like you
Can't have diarrhea in the middle of the game.
can't have
You just
diarrhea.
you can't
And
have
it
diarrhea.
also it begs the question of like road game January at Northwestern, like how much bodily fluid needs to come out for it to just not be worth someone playing to? Like, is it
You're around your teammates on a bus or a plane for a few
the
hours,
ship's,
like,
yeah, like, and that ship's already sailed, but it's like, is it like
is it
how
worth it?
necessary? Yeah,
I
it
mean, I
wasn't
respect
even.
the toughness, no doubt, but if it's at the risk of infecting, like, the entirety of the team, that's a whole other game.
Brad might have said that he might have traveled separately from the team. I'm not
Okay.
100% sure,
That's an
which would make sense.
that's another thing. It's like if we're traveling separate to Evanston, like maybe we're not feeling great. Maybe we just
Yeah. But hey, it's he
David
came to
is
play. He
he came to
still
play. Respect, absolutely respect right
Which
there.
speaking of that though, Brad also mentioned Heaton had a problem on the bus with his hip. And like his hip went out of his socket and was really sore and was like
What?
basically on his side on the bus ride. So he's like, we got to get that cleaned up, which
Cleaned up? That's a
occupational
very
hazard. No,
in the
no, no.
bus.
Like we need to figure out the bus situation,
Oh,
not
not
we
the.
need to get his hip cleaned up.
Well,
But
we do
hit a
need to
bad
do
bump or
that.
something.
Who's
I don't know.
driving that thing?
I just think that maybe he didn't have a great seat on the bus sort of thing. So he's like going sideways and needed to be laying down or something.
All right.
We gotta get business class for a guy Keaton so
I
he
was going
can
to
go
say.
fully laying down.
Let's figure that out. Okay, a couple other little bits here. First, do you guys want to give one last plea to Carson Beck before Monday night?
Forecast looks like a hurricane in Miami. All right. Please, Carson.
Last chance, Sam. Your last chance.
I what terrifies me is the Bears losing and then that
Yeah,
happening the day after.
Josh isn't here. Should we hack this podcast and just go
We already went
good
way over
better
our basketball minute, so I feel like
full good better best? Should we go full good better best here? Yeah. If you are a Chicagoan that just like went to Kelly and like Bears fan Indiana, like you are living in a dream. Like congratulations. This is a dream. And you could have just like the best week of your life. We did talk about though, John and I have been talking about how next weekend could be the best sports weekend of our lives, right?
Oh boy.
Little selfish here. I will say I turn 30 next Sunday here. We have a little get together for the Purdue game on
On
Saturday at the
Saturday.
bar, and then Sunday is the NFC Championship game. Just throwing it out there. If the Bears are listening and they want to maybe make the Super Bowl on my 30th birthday, and if Illinois wants to win at Mackey for Brad's hopefully longest ever winning streak, if we beat Purdue, could be like, I hope Boise would call that a better than a C plus weekend. I hope that deserves a better mark than C plus.
What do you think the odds of that happening are? That parlay?
Purdue, Miami, Chicago Bears parlay, like those three games, the Natty
Four
too.
games. You would need the Bears to win Sunday
Oh, and
and then the
Sunday.
NFC. Yeah.
Oh my
Yeah,
God.
that's a good point. I was gonna say we could even assume for this argument that the Bears already won this weekend. Like you're
Okay,
still
well, that is you'd make one hell of a
even
lawyer,
still.
Sam, because that is quite an argument.
No,
That's quite an argument
but
right
like
there.
my point is like they could win this weekend and the odds are still freaking
Impossible. Because I mean,
impossible,
you're
which
plus what, like one six Bears or what, maybe plus 160 or something tomorrow, something like that. And then I
yeah.
mean, obviously it depends on if you're playing in Chicago or in Seattle next week. You're probably still an underdog potentially, no matter what. You're going to be an underdog at Mackey Arena by what, a couple buckets probably.
Yeah, let's KenPom has us a 35% chance of winning.
Okay,
Wow.
so
And
you got a
then
one and three. You got a
yes,
one and
then
three.
let's say the Bears are 40% chance of winning the divisional round, according to Vegas.
Wow.
And then let's say 1-3 for the NFC Championship game. So
what's not that? Great. What's 1/3 times 1/3 times 1/4?
That would
one
be
1/30. One over four. Are we? We're including Miami in
no,
this?
It would be 2/5, not 1/4. But
The numbers are, I'm doing the calculus here and never tell me the
what
math.
Is it saying, like, a 3% chance or something?
It's right around that. Yeah.
By the way, 35% against Purdue at Mackey maybe seems generous too. Like, I think if we played them 100 times, we'd maybe win 30 at Mackey.
30, you say, yeah, 35.
They're like, 35 is crazy.
Yeah, but 30 is.
You know what? A guy who's hitting 250 versus 300, like,
that's a huge difference. Yeah.
Somehow, some way, I don't know why, it just sounds so big.
I agree. That is a substantial difference. Like, the difference between an extra 5 win, like, that is a lot. But it's somewhere in your 30. I believe that's somewhere in the realm of 30 something.
But if you're playing Purdue 100 right times, like, there's so many things you have to take into account, like how much information you know from the first 90 matchups, how tired you are. You know.
and these games are concurrent. God, Purdue Pete is going to be at the end of that 100 games right there. So, look, could be a good weekend. Could be an awful weekend, too. I mean, have we thought about that? It could just be, like, the worst weekend also. So, really, everything is on the table right now. But, hey, I would rather at least have this I will say this as a Bears fan who has not been in the playoffs many times in my lifetime. I'd rather have the opportunity, and I say this every year at the end of the basketball season, it's always a blessing to get your heart ripped out of your throat. So I'd rather be here all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and say, oh, maybe, than not even have the chance at all, to at least have a fighting chance going into Mackey, to at least have a fighting chance going into the game tomorrow. So that's all we can ask for, fellas, right? That's all we can ask for.
Is all we can ask for. And speaking of that, like, 15 wins, our magic number to make the tournament is starting to get there.
Yeah, we're getting close to bid day, aren't we?
Yeah.
What's the magic number usually? Like 21, 22?
I feel like 20 wins, especially for us. 20 wins would be 11 Big Ten wins. So I feel like you could pretty safely say.
Yeah. As long as you know Ron Zook, 0-6, it's finished.
Is this the earliest we've talked about? Like, I mean, obviously in years past, like, yes, like we expect them to make it this year, and like we expected it, but we're like talking about the magic number here in like mid-January here amidst a 6-1 start. Like, that's just goofy that we even talk about that at this point, but it is an expectation. But theoretically, we could clinch, like, what do you say, John? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What, that like second to third week in February, somewhere between that Michigan State game on the 7th, the Wisconsin game on the 10th, or the Indiana game on the 15th, is that like potential clinch day, bid day right there?
Yeah.
You're looking genuinely at potentially less than a month away from clinching, and you would have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You could potentially clinch with like 6 Big Ten games left.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at our schedule, right, you have Maryland, Washington, and Northwestern all at home, right? So if you win those 3 games, if you just take care of business and then you split between Purdue, Nebraska, Michigan State, like maybe you go 1-2 there, then you're potentially clinching against Wisconsin. Like, and that's,
I mean, you're not losing to Wisconsin, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
the graphic was up game. There, right? The graphic was up there. The winning streak, you know, us against Wisconsin, us against Michigan, and Minnesota and Wisconsin, like, those are the top 3 win streaks in the Big Ten, like 8 games or something like that, respectively.
Yeah, this was our 9th straight win now against Minnesota. And yeah, I think I texted you guys earlier, Keaton Wagler was 11 years old the last time Illinois lost to Wisconsin, to Minnesota. Like,
that is crazy, man. That's nuts. We were older than 11. Older than 11.
But it is so funny that there are certain teams we just, like, have their number, right? Obviously, Maryland being the exact opposite. But, like, Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan, and Wisconsin are just teams who have been, at least Iowa, Michigan, and Wisconsin, have all been, like, good during that time period. And we just, Brad really has figured them out. Minnesota is one who has been mostly down, but you just never have to worry about losing to them. And it was great to extend that today.
Pretty awesome.
We never even played them at home either. And then, yeah, you've got like Penn State, Maryland, who just don't make sense.
We're always going to the barn. Why do I always feel like it's BTN cutting to some kid in a cow costume, milking his own udders like on a Tuesday night in January? Like, it's always, and they're like, the court is unlevel, you know, like it's always the barn. It's just always the barn, damn it.
I don't think Minnesota's visited us since like
Keaton was 11.
Since Keaton was 11.
Cool stuff. Excellent. So let's keep it going, boys. Wednesday night, Maryland, BTN, 6 o'clock. And then you have a date with your good friend, Matt Painter, and the Purdue Boilermakers, and Braden Smith next Saturday. All right.
I did want to talk about one more thing.
All right.
The DePaul team.
All right, Holtman. That's enough.
No. This is another one of those. I'm so happy to be a good program and not have to be doing this, where DePaul won their game last night against Marquette, and Chris Holtman then like announces on Twitter he's buying drinks for everyone who went to the game at a bar, which is like, it's very fun, and it's something that you're trying to like build this like fan atmosphere and culture and keep everyone engaged. But they beat a Marquette team who is so bad. This would have been like if Illinois beat Rutgers in like 2018 and Brad's like, guys, I'm going to Cam's and buying everyone drinks. Like,
that's sick, but that would have been so sick.
It would have been very fun, but it's also like we're celebrating beating the worst Marquette team in like 20 years. Like, this is,
I mean, it's the equivalent of storming the court, where it's like, it's so sick and it's so fun that your team just like did the thing. But at the end of the day, like, I would rather be the ranked team that lost because you're still having a better season. I agree with you, Johnny. Also, just as like not emotionally involved in DePaul hoops, I'm just like, you know, let the kids have fun, and I don't actually care about it. But yes, I'm with you. I'm glad we don't have to sink to that type of behavior in order to like glean excitement from the fan base. But that would have been sick if I saw Brad at Cam's. I would totally have been like, bro, you want to ice out?
It's just funny. Like, Marquette is 122 in KenPom. Penn State is 106. So it's like,
if
you had a home win against Penn State and Brad was like, guys, I'm buying everyone shots, we'd be like, it's Penn State, Brad. This is like a bad, this is an 0-6 team. This is not even the best 0-6 team. Okay, it's the second best 0-6 team.
And then you were like, hey, Brad, maybe don't buy people drinks the day that your program was discovered to have had 4 players fixing games last year. Just a thought.
That just a distraction? Great move.
Maybe it's be a little tighter with your money that day, you know? Like,
oh yeah. Look, I have no comment on that, you know. Because there's a pending investigation, so I, you know, I'm
we don't comment on
that. Okay, thank you for adding that, Johnny. Because yes, let the kids have fun, but glad that's not my program. Glad the fellas in Chicago can have fun at a Hook and Ladder or Halligan's or that wherever the hell they were last night. It was also fun at the bar this morning. It was a lively crowd for 11 a.m. I will say. Yeah. I think some of the fellas were maybe catching some of the Premier League games early, and then coming over to Finley Dunn. So it was a rowdy crowd this morning. Like, some diehards were out there this morning. So it was fun to cheer on with some new friends at the bar. But excellent, boys. Let's have a week. Let's have a weekend. Let's do it. Best of luck, guys. Good luck. All right, we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for listening, everyone. ILL.